Radio Prague News. The Czech Republic's Supreme State Attorney Maria Benešová has been dismissed from office. The government has decided to increase the old age, widows and disability pensions by almost 5%. And the government has also decided to sell its share in the country's biggest brown coal mining company. The Czech Republic's Supreme State Attorney Maria Benešová has been dismissed from office. Ms. Benešová was sacked at the request of Justice Minister Pavel Němec, with whom she had long-standing disputes. Although Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek had long backed Ms. Benešová in the post, he recently conceded that the ongoing feud was paralyzing his administration. The Justice Minister has proposed State Attorney Renata Vesecká as a suitable replacement. The outgoing Supreme State Attorney, Maria Benešová, has told the CTK news agency that she was given no chance to defend herself in her dispute with Justice Minister Pavel Němec and that the decision on her dismissal was actually made when she was on holiday abroad. The government has decided to increase the old age, widows and disability pensions by 4.9% as of January. The average monthly pension will thus reach 8,128 crowns, or over $330. According to experts, the country's current pay-as-you-go pension system is to survive for another 20 years approximately. The society, nevertheless, has been aging and the spending on pensions has been increasing. Currently, the state spends about 8% of GDP on pensions. The government has decided to sell its share in the country's biggest brown coal mining company, Severočeská uhelná, to the Czech energy giant ČEZ for 9 billion crowns. That's $370 million. ČEZ, which now holds a 37% stake in the mining company, will have a 93% share after the purchase. Severočeská uhelná is the biggest supplier of brown coal for ČEZ's power plants. The deal will now be examined by the Czech Antitrust Office and the European Commission. The chief executive of South Korean carmaker Hyundai, Chung Mung Ko, toured a site in the Czech Republic on Thursday, regional governor Evgen Toshanovsky said. The Czech news agency CTK, citing the Korea Economic Daily, reported that Hyundai planned to invest about $1.9 billion in the Czech Republic, building a plant with annual output of 300,000 cars. Czech officials have declined to comment on the report. Quoting an unnamed regional council source, CTK said that two sites at industrial zones in North Moravia were being considered. If Hyundai decide to locate a new plant in the Czech Republic, it would be the country's third car plant after Škoda and TPCA, the joint venture between Toyota and PCA Peugeot Citroën, which launched production this year. And finally, a quick look at the weather. We can expect partly cloudy skies and daytime temperatures ranging from 13 to 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up today, will a parliamentary probe cast new light on the Unipetrol scandal? We report on the dragon boats racing up and down the River Vltava and the week's business news in Business Report. Don't go away. The scandal over the privatisation of the petrochemical firm Unipetrol, following accusations of corruption directed at the ruling Social Democrats, has taken an unexpected turn. After firmly rejecting calls for a probe into the privatisation process, some of which came from his own coalition partners, the Christian Democrats, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek suddenly changed his mind. An investigation will take place, and it will most likely take place on the Prime Minister's own terms. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Just 48 hours ago, it appeared that the Prime Minister was losing ground over the Unipetrol scandal. His party was accused of having taken bribes and sold Unipetrol to PKN Orlen of Poland under highly unfavourable conditions for the Czech Republic. A Polish parliamentary commission investigating the circumstances of the privatisation suggested that the Czech Republic had lost billions of crowns in the privatisation. The opposition Civic Democrats and even the Prime Minister's coalition partners, the Christian Democrats, demanded a probe. The Communist Party was also inclined to support an investigation, and the Prime Minister's Social Democrats were increasingly isolated. However, within 48 hours, the Prime Minister appears to have turned the tables. Bypassing the Christian Democrats, he met with the Communist Party and the smaller coalition partner, the Freedom Union, to discuss support for an investigation commission on the privatization of the whole Czech petrochemical sector, a much broader task. The results of the probe should be made public by January the 1st of 2006. News that the Social Democrats and the Communists would pool their 111 votes in Parliament in support of a broad investigation of privatization in the petrochemical sector has evoked plenty of negative reactions. The Christian Democrats, who were left out of the talks, accused the ruling party of forming a hidden alliance with the Communists. The opposition Civic Democrats say the Prime Minister is trying to water down the Unipetrol case in an investigation of the whole petrochemical sector. With elections due in June of next year, it was inevitable that the Unipetrol case would become a highly politicized one. Freelance journalist Will Conroy, who has been following the story here in Prague, says that the web of speculation, accusations and hidden interests will be hard to untangle. But after all that has been said and revealed, an investigation should take place.
I think they need a commission. There's no question about it, but whether it will be effective is very open to question, particularly in light of the Polish Commission, which has produced conclusions which really are not well grounded and can be targeted as just kicking up more dust.
Right. How is this scandal regarded abroad?
I think it's quite bemusing, certainly, to readers in England, because it's just not typical that so many hard allegations can be publicly made with no evidence. There's been a few libel cases triggered by this already. Whether they'll come to a conclusion in court is again open to question. But yeah, there's an awful lot of very strong allegations flying around with very, very little evidence.
Do you feel that the situation has been, that the case has been highly politicised because of the upcoming elections?
It seems there are business and political interests in the background which are generating a lot of these allegations. Whether any of these allegations are legitimate is something which the Commission should get to grips with, but there's an awful lot of hidden interests in the background.
Now that you said all this, do you feel that the Commission can come up with a simple black and white yes or no answer that will satisfy the public, or do you feel that what's actually said in the media will influence voters far more than something that will be produced in January of next year by the Commission?
I think looking at the results achieved by past commissions, I think we can expect an opaque conclusion to the whole affair, and perhaps it won't actually affect the electorate so much, because I think they've come to expect a certain level of a mystery, shall we say, as regards what happens during these privatisations.
That was freelance journalist Will Conroy speaking to Daniela Lazarova. Now, dragon boats have been plying their way up and down Czech rivers for nearly 10 years. When Sebastian Pavlovsky and Hajo Libor had the idea of starting dragon boat racing in the Czech Republic, they didn't dream that Czech teams would have so much success. They hold 3 world records and have won numerous medals at both world and European competitions. Jarka Halková asked Hajo Libor what makes the Czechs so successful at this unusual sport.
I think in the Czech Republic there's no wind, so you can't sail. So you have to go through the water by paddling yourself. And so there are a lot of paddlers and rowers in the rivers of Czech Republic.
The very first races were just for fun, and since then they have been replaced by professional competitions. The Czech speciality is the Bohemian Cup, a series of 6 races around the Czech Republic. The most recent race took place last weekend in Prague on the River Vltava. 12.5-meter long boats with heads of dragons at the front lined up for the start. These slim boats carry 10 broad-shouldered paddlers on each side, a steersman at the back and a drummer giving the rhythm to the crew at the front. All of them smiling happily, as dragon boat racing is about fun.
Bohemian Cup is something like NHL in ice hockey,
says Petr Klima, the organizer, chairman of the Czech Dragon Boat Association and a member of Gožluté Lázně and TV Prima team.
Team is the most important, you know. You can have some individuals, but the team making the result. So everything is about the team spirit. And this is the reason why, for example, Martin Doktor or Václav Chalupa or Ondřej Sinek and the other individual top star sportsmen are doing this sport. Because to win with the group of more than 20 people, this is something exciting.
You compete yourself.
Yes, we will just go for the mixed category in the final for Gožluté Lázně and TV Prima, and we hope that there will be some medal position for us.
Martin Doktor, also a member of the crew, is better known as a canoeist and Olympic gold medalist. Successful in 500 and 1000 meter races, he took up dragon boat races to get some company.
It's a chance for me to do a team sport, which is really rare. With my discipline, I'm alone on the boat. Here I'm together with another 21 people, and it's a big fun for me. Till I sit in a boat, it's not serious, but when I'm sitting in a boat, I'm paddling like a hell, because when I'm paddling, I always would like to be first.
Although it is not very likely, fans of dragon boat racing hope that their sport will one day become an Olympic discipline, maybe in Beijing 2008. But in the meantime...
Next year in 2006 will be European Championship here in Prague, and let's do it like Olympics, you know?
And that was Petr Klima, chairman of the Czech Dragon Boat Association, ending that report by Jarka Halková. And now with all this week's business news, Brian Kennedy joins me in the studio for Business Report.
Thanks, Rob. The South Korean carmaker Hyundai plans to build a $1.2 billion plant in the Czech Republic aimed at boosting its presence in the European market. The prime candidate site for the plant is Ostrava, the Czech Republic's third largest city. The target date for the new Hyundai plant to go online is 2008. It should have an annual production capacity of some 300,000 vehicles. The South Korean carmaker's plant would create 3,000 jobs directly and twice as many again in the Czech supply chain.
Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has bowed to calls to establish a parliamentary commission to investigate the sale of Czech petrochemicals group Unipetrol. The sole bidder in the privatization tender, PKN Orlen of Poland, paid some $540 million for the government's 63% stake in Unipetrol. A Polish parliamentary commission this month suggested the Czech government could have gotten a much higher price for the firm. It also suggested that Czech politicians had accepted bribes for giving PKN favourable conditions, but offered no hard evidence.
The Swedish broadcaster Modern Times Group has paid $115 million for a 50% stake in TV Prima, the second largest Czech commercial station. Apart from its operations in Sweden, Modern Times Group operates television stations in Scandinavia, Russia, the Baltic states, and Hungary.
The government has agreed to sell its 56% majority stake in the brown coal mine Severocheske Dole to the state-owned power company ČEZ for some $375 million. Once the sale is finalised, ČEZ will be a 93% owner of the coal mine. It's expected to buy out minority shareholders in the coming months and become the full owner of Severocheske Dole. Shares in ČEZ, a blue-chip company, rose on the news. The ratings agency Moody's raised its long-term financial strength rating for ČEZ from A3 to A2.
The United Kingdom's Tesco and Carrefour of France, the world's second and third largest retailers, have announced an asset swap involving the stores and operations in the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Taiwan, subject to the usual regulatory approvals. As part of the deal, 11 Carrefour stores in the Czech Republic and 4 stores in Slovakia will be transferred to Tesco. In return, Carrefour will receive 6 Tesco stores and 2 sites in Taiwan. Tesco said the deal is part of a strategic move to strengthen its business in Central Europe. In other news this week, the cabinet agreed to raise pensions by nearly 5% to $340 per month on average, and to increase the sick pay for employees earning above the average monthly salary of $600.
And time now for this week's edition of The Arts, and that's brought to you by Colleen O'Connor.
The unmistakable sound of contemporary classical composer Michael Nyman, whose band will be featuring at this year's Struny Podzimu, or Strings of Autumn Festival. Now in its 10th year, Strings of Autumn is a music event that brings an exciting variety of performers to Prague on an annual basis. Jiří Sedlák is one of the festival's organizers.
Strings of Autumn Festival is international music festival, bringing various kinds of music here to Prague. Basic idea since the beginning is to establish here festival of classical music, which would be young, fresh, bringing various kinds of music, jazz, traditional music, classical music, but also contemporary music.
Although some would say the Czech capital already has a surfeit of classical music festivals, such as the Prague Spring, Jiří Sedlák says Strings of Autumn occupies a special place in the city's event calendar.
Festivals like Prague Spring or Prague Autumn are very classical ones for elderly people with traditional repertoire, but we really want to be young festival. There has not been any classical music festival which would attract young people, young audience, and that's why we think like there is place for this festival. And really many concerts are already sold out, so people in Prague are attracted towards such kind of music.
Michael Nyman and other musical luminaries, such as mezzo-soprano Dagmar Petskova, are actually making a return visit to the Strings of Autumn as part of its 10th anniversary celebrations. They are just a few of the stars that have played at the festival since it started in 1996. But in keeping with its high standards, this year's Strings of Autumn is not just reliving past glories. The festival programme also has a lot of newcomers to the event, such as French soprano Nathalie Dessay and American Grammy Award-winning vibraphonist Gary Burton. Despite its success in the last decade, Strings of Autumn's organisers are simply happy that the festival still exists. Having used the sumptuous surroundings of Prague Castle as the venue for its concerts in the first 8 years of its existence, they were unceremoniously ousted from the castle grounds last year. Jiří Sedlák says the move was precipitated by the arrival of a new presidential administration, which is in charge of programming events held at this famous Prague landmark.
Strings of Autumn Festival was established by Prague Castle administration in the middle of 90s, and it was effort by the administration to enlive Prague Castle, to bring culture to Prague Castle. After the change of Prague Castle administration, also the politics toward culture events was changed, and like visible change was that in 2004, half year before the start of the festival, the new president cancelled the program of the festival for the Prague Castle.
Although the decision to remove a festival as prestigious as Strings of Autumn from the Prague Castle calendar is controversial to say the least, Jiří Sedlák is reluctant to be drawn on the subject.
I don't want to comment it. It's just many exhibitions which were planned before were cancelled, and the president has the right to follow his or her politics, and Václav Klaus is not Václav Havel, so that's it.
Despite its problems finding a venue last year, Strings of Autumn still managed to put on a reduced programme in 2004. This year, the festival is back with a vengeance. It has secured prestigious venues such as the Rue Dolphinum and a state's theatre for its concerts. Having also attracted a number of major new sponsors, Jerzy Sedlak has every reason to be confident when asked if he thinks the festival has a bright future.
I think so, and I believe in it because there are new and new musical impulses and related to musicians which can come to Prague who haven't been here, so it will exist, I'm sure.
Anyone wanting to find out more about the Strings of Autumn can visit the festival's website at www.strunypodzimu.cz. Prague's Stamic Quartet playing Intimate Letters by Czech composer Leoš Janáček. Classical music lovers first had the chance to hear this infrequently performed version of Janáček's famous string quartet 2 years ago during the Prague International Chamber Music Festival, which is now entering its fifth year. The festival is the brainchild of Markéta Lajnarová, who says she established the event in the hope of breathing new life into the Czech Republic's proud chamber music tradition.
Well, the idea was just to build a kind of permanent promoting chamber music in Prague, or also Czech Republic, because if you see the whole musical structure, most people, if they are interested in classic music, they go for opera or for the orchestras. And Czech Republic has a wonderful tradition of the string quartet, and it's a world-known string quartet in a history who just made the Czech Republic famous. And so we decided to develop a season which will present Czech leading ensembles, Czech leading soloists, doing together music with the international top ensembles. That was the reason, just to build up the Czech audience for chamber music, because we feel the chamber music give a special kind of feelings which could not be relevant to orchestra music. And we know that people want to have it also.
Although the Czech Republic has a strong classical music tradition, with a number of prestigious international festivals and world-renowned orchestras, Markéta Lajnarová says that the subtle joys of chamber music have been neglected here in recent years, as musical establishments have devoted themselves to eye-catching, big-budget opera productions and orchestral recitals.
I would say we have a tradition of chamber music listeners, but I think the tradition was just limited through the development of orchestra music and of orchestra institutions. We have to develop a new audience, which should comprise also young people, not only the generation 40s, 50s, which is the usual generation which you can see in Czech Philharmonic or in the other orchestra venues.
Markéta Lajnarová says that the Chamber Music Festival has been well received in previous years, and she is hopeful that it can help regenerate a strain of classical music that has too often been overlooked on the European.
I think it's a general problem in the whole Europe that the chamber music is not major interest. I think people like more big noise and huge emotions. That's why they go to the opera. That's why they go to huge orchestra pieces. And I like it too. But I think chamber music could also offer a kind of emotions and big noise. It depends what kind of programs you do. And that's also my task, or my, how to say, my idea and my mission, to focus this programming on pieces which are not known, but which could give people the same emotions and the same feelings. And from the reactions I receive from the audience after each concert, I think we are successful in this.
Anyone interested in the Prague Chamber Music Festival can find out more by visiting its website at www.euroart.cz.
My thanks there to Colleen for this week's Arts. And don't forget that our website is www.radio.cz and our email address is english@radio.cz. Do write to us. We always like to hear what you think of our programmes. Tune in this weekend. We'll have more classical music for you on Sunday in this week's edition of Encore. We'll be hearing some of the lesser-known works of Antonín Dvořák. But for now, that's all from me, Rob Cameron, and everyone here at Radio Prague. Take care and do tune in again soon.